829-5463.
This is Full Service Radio, AM 830, WCRN, Worcester Metro West.
9 o'clock.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley.
President Trump rallies supporters tonight in Georgia, which will hold two Senate runoff races tomorrow. We'll know after those election results are in which party controls the U.S. Senate. This morning, a key Senate Democrat, Dick Durbin, is calling for a criminal investigation of President Trump's weekend phone call with Georgia's top election official, during which the president pressured the official to find him votes that would overturn Joe Biden's win in the state. The AP's Ben Thomas.
In an audio recording obtained by the Associated Press of a call Saturday between the president, Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, and others, the president says,
I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state, and flipping the state is a great testament to our country.
In the call, Trump repeats a litany of claims of alleged voter fraud and irregularities, to which Raffensperger responds,
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Biden senior advisor Bob Bauer calls the recording irrefutable proof of Trump pressuring and threatening an official in his own party to overturn the election. Ben Thomas, Washington.
Dr. Anthony Fauci says President-elect Biden's plan for 100 million coronavirus shots in his first 100 days in office is workable. Vaccinations have been going slower than hoped, but Dr. Fauci says things are ramping up.
The goal of vaccinating 100 million people in the first 100 days is a realistic goal. We can do 1 million people per day.
He was on ABC's This Week. Iran has seized a South Korean tanker in the Strait of Hormuz, alleging oil pollution. It arrested the crew. This is AP News.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask,
Could I have EPI? Sponsored by AbbVie.
News brought to you by Unibank. Unibank, supporting the Central Massachusetts community. It is Monday, January 4th, 31 degrees. The winter parking ban has been lifted in Worcester. Meteorologist Rob Carolyn has our forecast coming up. Good morning, I'm Hank Stoltz, and here are the stories that are the talk of the Commonwealth. Apparent murder-suicide in Charlton. District Attorney Joe Early's office said Charlton police responded Saturday night to a domestic violence call. A man inside the condo unit was dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Female victim died at the hospital of multiple gunshot wounds. Telegram reports that a neighbor said the woman's 12-year-old son was in the condo at the time of the shooting. MassLive reports Worcester school teachers with underlying conditions have filed a discrimination complaint ahead of the school system going to hybrid learning. A second COVID-19 field hospital will be opening in Lowell today. The alternative care site is located at UMass Lowell's Campus Recreation Center and run by Lowell General Hospital. Capacity is 77 patients, but a shortage of trained staff means that they will only be able to treat 14 patients at this time. Are you looking to get more from your banking experience in 2021? Unibank's online and mobile banking services provide you with seamless convenience for all of your personal, business, and commercial banking needs. You can also visit their modern branch location in Worcester at 24 Gold Star Boulevard or one of their 13 branch locations across central Massachusetts. For more information, visit www.unibank.com. Bank different. Bank unique. Bank Unibank. Member FDIC. Member DIF. Equal housing lender. Let's check in now with meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
The talk of the Commonwealth forecast, cloudy skies today. We may see a passing winter snow shower. Temperatures today, 35 to 40. They're really not going to amount to very much. Cloudy tonight, 25 to 30. Cloudy tomorrow, there could be a few flurries during the day, 35 to 40. Tomorrow night, cloudy, lows 25 to 30. Now look for Wednesday, we're going to be mostly cloudy. Temperatures are going to be somewhere between 35 and 40. Your hometown forecast is heard mornings on the Radio Worcester Network. I'm meteorologist Rob Carolyn.
Ben Adam, everybody. Hank and Big Ben with you on this Monday morning. And the talk of the Commonwealth is how 3,000 fitness clubs in Massachusetts are in the battle of their lives because of COVID-19 and because of the restrictions that they are under. So there's 41,000 employees. You know, because we talk about it each and every morning, about where we are right now with the capacity and with these restrictions that they are under. But let's go now to the president of the Massachusetts Independent Fitness Operators. And Frank Nash joins us. He's also the president and owner of Stronger Personal Training in Worcester. Frank, thank you for being with us today.
Hank, my pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Also joining us is the legal counsel for the Massachusetts Independent Fitness Operators, and he's a partner at Cedar Law here in the city. Howard Stempler is with us. Howard, thanks for coming on today.
Again, thanks, Hank, for having us on.
Frank, let me just have you kind of give us a little bit of an overview, sort of the Reader's Digest version, if you will, of where we've been, where you've been since, well, probably since March, and particularly where you are right now, now that over these last couple of weeks, we're looking at kind of rolling things back to a smaller capacity again.
Yeah, thanks, Hank. Of course, like any business, any sector of the small business of Massachusetts, right when the pandemic hit, gym owners were the first to shut down before we were even mandated to. We were terrified, just like everybody else. As the data started coming, as we were able to reopen, the gyms were primed to reopen safely. We already do a check-in process where we have contact tracing. We already can pre-social distance. We can control who comes in and out of our clubs. So we were pretty much doing this anyway, Hank, before COVID even happened. So once we opened, you know, all the gyms in Massachusetts, across the country, we spent tens of thousands of dollars to equip our clubs, our staff with the appropriate PPP to support social distancing, cleanliness, airflow, temperature checks. We did it all. And since then, not only has it been difficult for our clubs to operate under the new mandates, at the time when we opened, it was around like 50%, but the fear instilled in the public was crushing us. Now, saying all that, we were, you know, fortunate enough to reopen roughly 5-6 months ago. The data supports that gyms are safe. Not only are they safe, you have a better chance of choking on food than getting COVID from a gym. You are safer at a gym based on the governor's own statistics, the Mass Department of Health's own statistics, than you are in your own home. So as we're navigating through this, we feel the noose tightening and the restrictions are getting greater, and tighter in the face of their own science and their own data. It's contradicting where the places where we know are the safest, which are gyms, we're keeping people out of, and we're making them stay home where, based on their statistics, Hank, it's the most dangerous.
Yeah, and I want to get to the
advocating.
Oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, we're really just trying to advocate and help the public understand that gyms aren't what we think they are. If you haven't been in a gym, it is one of the cleanest, most social distance mandate following places you'll ever be. We're primed for this, and we take this very serious. This is a serious virus, and we take our members' health really serious.
And Frank, I want to get to the mental health aspect of this in a moment. But Howard, first, what's the legal recourse for this? This organization has been formed. Does MIFO, file a lawsuit against the state, against the governor personally? How do you play into this?
Thanks for having us again, Hank. Where I fit in, where the legal end fits in, it's actually a kind of a gray area. We've really tried to work cooperatively with the governor's task force, specifically having meetings with the lieutenant governor and some of the folks, Mary Lou Sutter's, secretary of health down there. And so we've really tried to work cooperatively. We are aware of several successful lawsuits against outside jurisdictions, California, Buffalo, New York, other sort of gym owners and alliances have filed successful suits. It's really not our preference to go that route. We're open. We're really encouraging the state to follow their own science, follow their own statistics, and not to harp on what Frank said, but gyms are among the safest places to be during COVID statistically. By any measure, by every state, Chicago refused to shut down their gyms because they followed the science, and they said that of all the places that are safe to be right now, gyms are actually the safest, among the one or two safest places to go of any place, including your own home.
Frank, I'm wondering
we have considered suit. We have considered, sort of legal action, but it's really not the preference at the time.
Right. And Frank, I'm just wondering what you're kind of getting at as the feedback from the state. But more importantly, if you were open and you could just open up, would the people return, or do you think that there is damage that is being done? Because it seems almost counterintuitive. Gee, I want to stay safe. I don't want to get COVID. Should I go to the gym this morning? Well, there's going to be a lot of people at the gym. Maybe I stay home. So I'm just kind of curious about, as a business owner, how you sort of reassure that the clientele, as well as the, lift these restrictions part of it.
Hank, you're 100% right. There is that fear factor in the public where it's going to be hard to get them back. You're completely correct. We can't just hit the light switch. But the really big clubs right now, they're not really going to have too much of a problem with the restrictions. It's the mid to smaller type clubs which are getting destroyed right now. The capacity will kill them. For example, a 1,500, 2,000 square foot club, to operate at 25%, you're basically telling them to have one or two people in their club based on social distancing and cleanliness. Those mom and pop, those small clubs, are being destroyed. But to your point, Hank, you're right. You just can't hit a switch and say, hey, we'll open up at 100%. Let's get everyone back in. What we're asking is to be treated like any other business, because we're no more dangerous than they are. It just, this whole public outcry that, the restrictions really hurt us publicly in the public eye. It makes the public think that we are unsafe when the governor comes out and says we're going to put 25% capacity, when it really was based arbitrarily off nothing, Hank. It's unfortunate, but I wish the governor could just say, hey guys, the gyms are doing a great job. If any other business sector wants to take a tip from how to run a COVID business safely, check out a gym, because we are.
Yeah. Howard, why do you think the governor can't say that? Say, hey, I'm following the science. We understand, it's being spread because people decided to get together for New Year's Eve. People decided to get together for Christmas, not necessarily because they're heading to their morning workout for peace of mind. When you've sat down or you've talked, and I'm sure you've mentioned that, hey, by the way, some other lawsuits have been successful. What's the feedback that you feel you're getting from the governor's team?
So I think the overriding sense is that and again, I'm not a politician. I don't deal in the political realm, but we hear over and over that the perception, they're trying to deal with, manage the perception of the public. They're trying to sort of keep the public safe at large, and maybe not single out certain, revenue generating, income or tax generating businesses for special treatment over other businesses. Unfortunately, by ignoring the science, they're sort of, it kind of goes to the question you mentioned, which is sort of the mental and physical health of the public. And it's more important than ever that people actually be in gyms where the positivity rate, meaning the rate of people contracting COVID, again, it, by our own statistics and the statistics that are out there are multiple times less than 1%, which is way less than being out doing any of these other activities. I think the understanding of what's actually happening in the gyms, Hank, is much less than the reality, meaning people don't truly understand that people are 14 feet apart, that people are wearing masks, that there's contactless appointments and entry, that people are cleaning the equipment in between each use. They don't really truly understand. The perception is, a mob of people, yeah, sort of one station after another, maybe on sort of cardiovascular machines or things like that. They don't truly appreciate the steps that are being taken. And I think that's what's hurting, is the reality is different than the perception. And I think that's what politicians are doing, is trying to manage perception at the moment.
Yeah. And it started out, Howard, that we were going to kind of clamp down for a couple of weeks. We don't want the hospitals to be overrun. I mean, all the things that we truly do not want to have happen. Now, with some of these measures, and I think that the fear is that they become never ending. Are we really only rolling back for a for a couple of weeks? It seems as if we're headed more towards, well, we just want everybody to stay home until we stamp it out. But that's not going to happen, and we can't actually. I mean, I think the people have shown we're just not going to stay home. So I'm not even sure, right. And I'm just kind of curious again about some of your conversations. What is the goal right now of the governor?
I think you're right. I think it's to manage through the storm until the vaccine gets going, to keep people out of the public as much as possible. It sort of ignores, again, the fact that the super spreader events, maybe you alluded to without saying, but super spreader events are, people having large holiday gatherings in their homes, parties, nursing homes, unfortunately, which is really a sad, sad situation. But sort of there are these super spreader type of things. Other activities are much less, but I do believe that, they're trying to wait to get us through this sort of tough winter portion where majority of people can have vaccines and we make it to the spring. And I'm with you. I think because of the arbitrariness and because it's really sort of shutting down a lot of activities, there's grave damage to the economy, including, our industry, the fitness industry, is being really decimated right now.
Yeah, and listen, I have always been a supporter of the governor. I think he's a good person. I think he's between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. But the longer that this goes on, the more difficult it just becomes to, as you guys have talked about, to follow the science. I mean, and what we have shown that we are really going to do. If it was going away or we were really kind of tamping it down, that would be one thing. It seems, though, as if we're closing down the gyms, but that isn't having the effect that we may not be going after where the real problems are. And to that point, Frank, I just want to say, myself personally, as being somebody who is now just sort of I don't consider myself a nervous person. I'm kind of nervous to go out or to go anywhere. I'm not sure, when the restaurants do really open back up to capacity, there's going to be, I think, on the part of a lot of us, gee, what's it like to go back in? I haven't been to one in several months now, quite frankly. And where I'm going with this is, the problem with that is that what are the things that keep us sane in times of crisis? Well, I don't know, let's go to a movie. Let's go out to the bar. Or, more importantly, let's go do a workout because that's how I try to keep my stress level down, or I try to, help myself get through stressful situations like a pandemic. And we don't have that the way that we normally do.
Right. I would love to tell you that gyms are just gyms, a place where people work out, but they're clubs. I mean, that's why we call them health clubs. People go to see their friends. They go to let off steam. They go to unwind. We know that as a fact. And here's the crazy issue that's happening now. Whether it's you and me, Hank, going to a movie, going out to eat, going to a gym to congregate, now we're going to congregate somewhere else, which is going to be at each other's homes, which is based on statistics where the COVID spread is happening. So I really feel like this is counterintuitive to what we're really trying to do, which is get people healthy during a health crisis.
Yeah. All right, guys, I will go ahead, please, Howard.
I was just going to point out, Hank, and to your point, there are so many articles online, including some very prominent. The former U.S. Surgeon General recently posted an op-ed begging state authorities all over the country to keep fitness centers open for the exact reasons that you're talking about. It's, you know, as much about mental health as it is physical health. And again, following the safety protocols, they are safe places to be. And that's, I just wanted to point that out, that mental health is critical at times, particularly at this time.
Yeah. Before I let you go, and Howard, I don't know if this is a legal question or, Frank, if this is more of a question for you about, you know, being the president of Massachusetts Independent Fitness Operators, but just where do you see it going from here? What are the next steps? What's going to be, what do you think the next month or the next 6 months look like?
Howard,
Frank,
do you want to take that? Okay, go ahead, Howard.
So, Hank, I think we're going to follow the science. We're going to stay open as best we can, all of our organizations, all of our operators. And then we're going to continue having these conversations with the administration. And if there has to be some type of, legal action taken and it seems like it's a viable option, then it's something to be considered. The longer we're shut down, the longer our industry is shut down, the harder it's going to be, and the more drastic the measures, you know. I mean, we're really looking for a cooperative resolution to the situation, but ultimately you have to consider all options. I think that may be the fairest thing to say, meaning we really want to resolve and have a solution that works for both the administration, includes the public and our industry, and I think that's our goal.
Yeah, Frank. People want to support you. Where do they go?
They can visit us at themifo.org. That's themifo.org to learn more about our mission, what we're trying to do, and just our advocacy that we believe gyms are safe. We're following the science and data, and during a health crisis, we just want to keep people healthy.
Frank Nash, MIFO president and owner of Stronger Personal Training in Worcester. Howard Stempler, MIFO legal counselor, partner at Cedar Law. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining us this morning. Greatly appreciated.
Hank, thanks so much.
Thank you, Hank. Really appreciate it.
All right, we have much more to come. And remember, you want to find out more, MIFO.org, but you want to get involved, you want to help out, and you just want to stay informed. And, of course, we'll have this up later on as a podcast. You'll be able to go back through it or share it. That helps us out tremendously when you do share these. We appreciate that as well. We do have more to come, including Let's Talk Taxes coming up at the bottom of the hour right here. It is the talk of the Commonwealth on the Radio Worcester Network.
Holder Park is rising, and we all hope to be there next year. In the meantime, your WooSox salute the frontline heroes at UMass Memorial, as well as our community heroes and caregivers, and of course, our first responders. We thank our public officials for their work day and night, day after day, and we all look forward to baseball, table talk apple pies, and Coney Island hot dogs at Worcester's new ballpark. Please stay healthy, everyone. Love, your WooSox.
This refreshing moment brought to you by Polar Seltzer. Polar Seltzer is naturally calorie-free with no sweeteners or sodium. Family made since 1882. Made with just water, zillions of tiny bubbles, and all natural fruit essences. Add some sparkle to your day, every day. Find us at your local grocery store or online at polarseltzer.com.
Talk of the Come World rolls on, Ben, on this Monday morning. We're back. I got to tell you, you know, to this point that we were just talking with Frank Nash about the mental part of this and what Howard had to say on that as well. See, this is where I have tremendous respect for the governor. I think he is in an impossible situation. I also think that he is a genuinely good individual who is, you know, between a rock and a hard place. But where I am is, as we start the new year, is that I think that the people have spoken on this. And at this point, yeah, people are, I mean, you gave them every warning you possibly could, and people went out and had Thanksgiving and had super spreader events. You know, people went out and had their New Year parties, if they did or they didn't. You know, and there's certainly a large percentage of people who didn't. So where we are right now, I think pragmatically is kind of where we are. And I do think that the governor, by his own admissions, as I listen to him on a daily basis, you know, talks about where is it that people are spreading this. And I think it really is much more because they just can't stay away from gathering for the Patriots game, or it'll be okay if I just get together. And I don't know, you know, listen, my wife comes from a big family. If they decide to have, hey, we're all just going to get together and we're all just going to be out in the driveway or in the living room or whatever, and hey, you know, everybody, you all feel okay, don't you? Yeah, but, you know, you're up to, it's a big family. You know, you're up to a dozen people quickly. That, to me, would be maybe more where we spend our focus. And the guy who has come up with a plan, and this is how my business is going to be safe, and this is how we are going to do things, and maybe people can let off some steam, I think that might not be such a bad idea. Because I got to tell you, staying at home for a week because I thought, well, then we have to take some time off. There were days when, I mean, I was just antsy. I mean, I can sit in front of the TV and do nothing with the best of them. But man, even I, after a week, was like, what? There's stuff going on in the world. I'd much rather be here today talking with all of you than last Wednesday when I was at home in the middle of the vacation and going, I don't know what I'm doing with myself.
And things are happening and you're like, we need to be talking about this. No, I totally get it. And I was the same way. I mean, normally, Hank, that week is for going to Christmas parties and going to New Year's and seeing friends and family. Like, that's what that week off is supposed to be. But obviously in COVID, like, we're not doing anything. So you're just kind of at home.
Yeah. You want to go out and get my workout in? Nope. You want to go to the restaurant? Nope. And here's my thing. So that's on me. So I'm making that decision. I mean, I could have. And I decided, I don't, you know,
I got invited to a few New Year's Eve parties.
Just because, you know, go. Honestly, Dr. Hirsch was a little bit in my head of, you know, this 2 weeks, everybody is going out, right, and they're ignoring. So I don't want to be part of that. I'm going to kind of hunker down. So, hey, so that's on me, you know, my own decision not to go out to a restaurant. I mean, I could have gone. There were certainly ones that were open. I think that in my head, I think that they are probably safe. But this is the other thing, you know, too. You know, man, I mean, I want to get out there and support these guys as quickly as I can. to be back out there, you know, working out and going to restaurants and everything else. It's a tough road back. And at this point, I really, you know, feel that this organization, pretty much, yeah, I mean, you know, like right on that they're, because I do truly believe that they are going to do it right and are doing it right. Get out there and support MIFO. All right, we've got much more to come. Let's talk taxes on deck. Talk of the Commonwealth, Radio Worcester Network.
News Minute. Was it a crime? One top Senate Democrat is calling for a criminal investigation after President Trump is heard on tape pleading with Georgia's elections chief to overturn Joe Biden's win in the state, suggesting Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger find enough votes to give President Trump the state victory.
Look, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, because we won the state, and flipping the state is a great testament to our country.
But Secretary of State Raffensperger is blunt.
Well, Mr. President, the challenge that you have is the data you have is wrong.
Raffensperger said the same thing this morning on Good Morning America. The president's data is wrong, he says. But he says President Trump continues to believe it. I'm Rita Foley.
I struggled with symptoms like frequent gas and stomach pain for years.
I was bloated all the time with daily diarrhea.
At first, I thought it was what I was eating.
I kept thinking it was stomach issues.
So I did my research and talked to my doctor, and we finally uncovered the truth.
It was actually EPI. Exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI, is a condition where your pancreas is unable to help break down your food.
It can lead to symptoms like diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, unexplained weight loss, and oily stools.
And EPI symptoms can be confused with those of other common digestive conditions, like irritable bowel syndrome, Crohn's, and celiac disease.
So getting to the right diagnosis meant being more open with my doctor about the severity of my symptoms and how often they were happening.
But there's good news. EPI is manageable, so don't wait any longer. Use the symptom checker at identifyepi.com and schedule a visit or call with your doctor to ask, Could I have EPI?
Sponsored by AbbVie.
Are you ready to transform your future? An online degree from Riviera University can help. Choose from programs like business, nursing, psychology, public health. Learn more at RivieraRadio.com. That's RivieraRadio.com.
End your day on a high note. Evenings at 7, it's North Star Music on Full Service Radio, 830 WCRN.
Dr. Satya Mitra has journeyed from a childhood of poverty and homelessness to a successful career as a financial advisor, motivational speaker, and community leader. Now inspired by his guru, he uses his experiences to positively affect the lives of underprivileged people. We strive to house our blindness, poverty, homelessness, female empowerment, and good citizenship initiatives within the Joy Guru Humanitarian Center. If you wish to contribute or know of deserving persons or initiatives that could use our assistance, please contact us at 508-641-8441.
We've all needed to hire professionals, but just didn't know who to trust. Word of mouth, website reviews, how do you know who to hire? Welcome to WCRN's Best in Business list. Simply visit WCRNradio.com and hit the big red button. There you'll find caring, trusted, and certified professionals ready to help you, complete with phone number and a link to their website. Finding the right certified professionals ready to help you has never been easier. WCRN's Best in Business list, the best way to find the certified professionals you can count on when you need them most. Find reliable local professionals like Larry Dooley at Tux Trucks GMC in Hudson for all your trucks and plows. Del Greco Supply in Northborough for supplies and expert help in landscaping or masonry. Or get in shape at one of your local YMCA branches. The Y has so much to offer, from fitness to fun. See the complete Best in Business list at WCRNradio.com. From your full service radio, AM 830 WCRN.
If something's worth doing, it's worth doing right. There's a particular time of life this phrase could not be more appropriate. This is Bob Lobel. How can you know you'll live the retirement you've always imagined? After all, life can be so unpredictable. You've worked hard and saved and watched your accounts go up and down with the market, and your advisor says, don't worry, you'll be just fine. But you still don't feel confident. The Visper Group, a Better Business Bureau A-plus rated firm, can help. They offer a complimentary, comprehensive retirement planning guide titled How to Plan and Protect Your Retirement in These Turbulent Times that can help you be on the right track for retirement and avoid any potential costly mistakes. Simply go to MyRetirementSecurity.com to request your free copy of this guide. That's MyRetirementSecurity.com to request your free copy of How to Plan and Protect Your Retirement in These Turbulent Times. Or you can call their office at 508-421-6700. That's 508-421-6700.
If you see something,
do something.
Be the difference.
Let's talk taxes with Dr. Satya Mitra. Here we are in the new year, and so, well, we're going to get you ready, get you in great shape. By the way, I don't know how many of you have been to our studio, but I know that a number of you, and it's been awfully hard with COVID-19, but a number of you who are, running your business, and some of you have come by, and we've done interviews with you and stuff, and you have been, you know that we have all things Worcester in our studio, all things Central Massachusetts. Everything has, whether it's the Worcester Railers, or prominently featured is the book The Five C's by Dr. Satya Mitra, which talks about all of these great tips for entrepreneurs and leaders, and you can't miss it as it is right there on our shelf. Dr. Mitra, I just want to remind people that that book is still available, good one to have and be able to talk to for the new year, and that there might be an announcement coming soon about some other things that you are working on. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, Hank. Thanks for mentioning about my last book, The Five C's, that was published 2 years back in January, actually. This January, it just completes the second year. And you are right. Hopefully, that book has been of help to many who are beginning to start an entrepreneurship business or thinking whether really it would be possible, whether I can really make it in this competitive world. So I think I say to everyone, the five C's stands as a source of courage, as a source of solution. And since I have given a little bit stories of my own life, I think this would be also a source of inspiration. So courage, solution, inspiration is what you get in that book. And thank you for talking about it. And as I have been telling you that that I am also thinking that I converse with you every week on various tax questions, and now I'm trying to compile, begin this year with another book which will be titled 100, at least 100 frequently asked tax questions. And the way this book I'm thinking, Hank, is it's not going to really answer a question which has numbers in it. This is a book that you can keep with you without impacting how the tax law changes. This is like a general question people ask, and the answer to that will always be there. So I wanted to make it a little different than putting what is the standard deduction, and you say it is $24,400 for married couple, single is $12,200. That's not the answer I'm giving in this book. But if somebody asks that who should file their tax return, what makes you file the tax return, it's an answer that will always be the right answer no matter which year you look at the book. So it's going to be a handy book to give many answers to such general questions, and which will probably be a good travel book. It'll be divided into different segments as individuals, business owners, landlords, different kinds of foreign asset holders. So it will have different segments, and at least it will answer 100 different such general questions that those are frequently asked. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a good beginning for me for the new year. Good thought. Hope I could at least get started with it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're looking forward to it as well. 100 frequently asked tax questions. Well, we'll get to some tax questions right now. Let's talk taxes. Good news is the second stimulus check is finally approved for the taxpayers. Dr. Mitra, can you please tell our listeners who qualifies, what are the changes in the stimulus package, and when do they expect to get this check?
Finally, the bill got approved. You know that there was a lot of hurdle in between, but I know the last Sunday, President Trump finally signed it, although he signed it with a sort of request that his point is to give instead of $602,000 per person, which, of course, has not yet been settled. Probably we don't know whether that will happen or not, but at least the $600 that were originally in the bill has been approved. And as I hear, Hank, see that some of my clients have already called me saying that they have received their $600 per person check in their bank account. So it looks like the check has already started going to the taxpayers. What qualifies is what are the different things in this particular stimulus check is something that people should know. The criteria has been kept the same as it was in the CARES Act when people received $1,200 single and $2,400 if they were filing jointly and $500 for a dependent. So the criteria of the adjusted gross income that one should have remained same. But the impact is this, Hank. People have to realize this is not a $1,200 per person. This is $600 per person. So the threshold that they had before for a single person from $75,000 income or below will get the full check of $1,200. They will now get the full check of $600. But it starts phasing down. So in the past, $99,000 when you earn, entire amount was phased out for a single and they wouldn't get it. Now this being $600, it phases out with the adjusted gross income of $87,000. So those who are making below $75,000 or between $75,000 and $87,000 will be getting some amount of that $600 per person. Those who are filing jointly, in the past, the total threshold was $150,000 adjusted gross income. They will get the full $2,400. And now that would have been finished with $198,000. And that is now reduced to $174,000 because it is half of what it was before. So people have to realize, even though the rules remain same, if your income is above, adjusted gross income is above $174,000 and you are filing jointly, you will not get any of this check, stimulus check. In the past, it was up to $198,000 that everyone who filed jointly got it. It was up to $99,000 that everyone who filed single, they got it. So that is a change that I think our listeners, our taxpayers should realize. They should not say that, well, my adjusted gross income last year when I received it was $190,000. We got the check, but now we are not getting it. They will not, because it phases out sooner, the amount being half of the vast amount that was given. So I think that's something that people should recognize. The other thing is, in the past, everybody got $500 per dependent. Now the dependents are getting $600. In the past, they gave only up to two dependents. Now there isn't any limit. If you have four children as your dependent, you are going to get 600 times four. So, you know, that's the advantage that they have. But there is an age limit in this one. In the past, if they were dependent, they got it, $500. Parents received $500. Now, if the child is above 16 years old, they are not going to get it, even though they are dependent. So there is an age limit of the dependent, but there isn't any limitation on how many dependents are there. So I think those are some of the significant changes that our listeners should recognize, because there might be a little different the check that they receive this year, and they should not be wondering or having any confusion. Of course, if they have the confusion, I suggest everyone, please call your accountant or call your tax consultant and clarify why you are getting what you are getting. In the past, Hank, if anyone who had a spouse who was a non-citizen, you couldn't get it for that spouse unless you have a social security number. The TIN number was not applicable. Now, if one spouse is a citizen or green card holder, both spouses qualify. So this is a very significant change as well. So I would say the people should really look into these changes when they receive their check. When the check will go, I think the check has already started going. I have a feeling that first, those who have already filed their tax return 2019, they will be receiving if they have received a refund. So people should know that if you did not have a refund coming from IRS and you paid in 2019, you may not get a direct deposit in your bank because they don't have that authorization. They only deposit if you had given them the authority to deposit your tax refund either in 2018 or 2019. If both years you paid and they did not refund you, then you will probably be receiving a paper check in the mail or a debit card in the mail. So your number would be later. But those who have filed 2019 tax returns and have received the refund, they should be the first priority in the list of IRS to receive the stimulus check. So if you didn't get it, you know, there is a good reason why you didn't get it. So I would suggest people to not to worry. At the end of the day, everybody is going to get it who qualify. These checks are given based on your 2020 AGI, adjusted gross income, which we have not filed yet. We're beginning to file 2020 tax returns. But they are going to see your 2019. If you haven't filed 2019, they're going to look at your 2018 tax return. And based on those adjusted gross income, you will be receiving the check now. Now, if you are supposed to be getting more based on 2020 tax return, the difference will be paid now when you file your 2020 tax return. So I suggest everybody to really gather all your documents as soon as possible and file your 2020 tax return so you get the real amount of the check. Now, in the past, if you received the stimulus check, and in 2020, it looks like you got overpaid, you do not need to refund it. You can keep it. They're not going to ask you to give it back. But if you received the check, since someone who filed jointly in 2019 and one spouse died in 2020, but the check came in for both, IRS is requesting that you should refund that one check to Internal Revenue Service. So remember, there might be a sort of like a segment where you can refund it or adjust with your refund in 2020 tax return, or you can also mail IRS the check that you received for the deceased spouse. So that's something that, word of caution, I would ask people to recognize. In all cases, you know, you should probably see that if there is any question you have in your mind, certainly people can call me. I'll be happy to help. We are getting into a very busy season. I see this is going to be a very, very busy season for us. So call us and we'll be happy to help. But you can always call Internal Revenue Service, and we have to have a lot of luck to receive and have somebody on the phone. They're all busy. They're all working from home. Many of them are working from home. So I think, in short, I think those are, I would say, the changes that people should be really looking for. Those who are receiving Social Security, they should be getting also their stimulus check automatically deposited in their bank if their Social Security is deposited in the bank. If you don't have the connection with Internal Revenue Service to deposit your check directly to your bank account, you can go online and you will see there is a place where you can enter your information so they can give you the check deposited directly into your bank account, which comes faster. So I guess those are some of the major, the highlights of this check, which people are beginning to receive. And they can just, keep looking. Many of them have not yet received. I know that IRS is really working hard and the Treasury Department is working hard. Their goal is to give everybody the checks as soon as possible. At the same time, people have to recognize that Internal Revenue Service is also beginning and stepping into a new tax season. So they have a lot in their plate and they are doing their best.
All right, so there isn't, and that is a lot of good information, but there isn't one place where I go and I click and it says, Stoltz, Hank, your check will hit your bank account on January 4th. I mean, is there some place that you can check about where your stimulus check is, or we just, the way you laid it out, it's coming?
Well, if you go to IRS's website, which is irs.gov, And you will see there is a icon. There is an icon which says, you know, if you want to know your payment status, you can go and you will see there is an icon which says, get my payment. Get my payment. If you click on that, it will give you the status. Well, you might have to enter your, you know, name, social security number, adjusted gross income of 2019. There are certain numbers that you do have to enter to get the information of the status of your current stimulus check. Whether they might say that, you know, payment status not available. That's what most people get who are not getting directly deposited, because they don't have the authority to deposit into their bank. So then you can go and enter all your bank information, and then you might be getting the check later. But yes, there is a place that people can go, click on the button that says, get my payment, get my payment. And then you may have to enter all your information and it will give you. But what I would suggest is have a 2019 tax return copy with you, so you can pick the numbers that they are asking for, particularly AGI, Adjusted Gross Income of 2019. And if you haven't yet filed your 2019, then have your 2018 tax return handy with you. If you haven't filed both of them, then I think you should wait until you file your 2020 tax return, because in reality, it is the AGI of 2020 that decides the real amount of the check that you should be getting. But if you have 2019 or 2018 tax return, they are going to give you the check now based on those AGIs, because so that you can get the money quickly. The whole idea is to help people to have this money to pay their bills and do things that they want to do. So there is a place to answer your question on the website.
All right. Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah, that's great. Great to know. And it's Let's Talk Taxes. We're with Dr. Mitra. We're talking about our stimulus check, but we're also talking about the stimulus package. So is the federal support of unemployment benefit approved in this package? And how about those checks?
Yes, a good question, Hank. I'm glad you asked. You know, in this package, there are a few things that has been approved. And we are still waiting for the amount that President Trump wanted to increase the $600 to $2,000. So the remaining $1,400 per person check, we don't know yet, because as you know that, you know, Senate Majority Leader Mr. McConnell had, you know, kind of stopped that particular amount to $2,000. So we'll see what happens to that. But this package has the $600 stimulus check that people will be getting per person, and also has the dependent $600 per person, no matter how many dependents you have, as long as they qualify by age. And they also have the unemployment benefit that in the past, the federal government had supported those who were unemployed to get an extra $600 from federal government. Now, remember, the stimulus check that one receives is not taxable. You don't pay tax on that. However, the unemployment benefit that you receive is a taxable amount to you. So don't forget to include that in your income. If you received one last year in 2020, now you file your tax return, you do have to report the unemployment benefit that you received from both state and federal. Nothing is non-taxable there. So now the $600 that expired, that government was giving with the past CARES Act, had expired at the end of December. And people, those who are still unemployed, and we know there are so many unemployment still there, and so many people are still filing unemployment. So government has now agreed to give, instead of $600, they have reduced this also to half, $300 per week, supplemental check coming from the government for those who are yet not employed or unemployed. So that check is meant to be, I think, until the for 10, 11 weeks. But in the first week that people should have received, went on to decide for President Trump. He was not signing the bill. As you know, he was going to veto the bill. But 1 week went by there. So now I think they were not going to get it for that 14 weeks. They'll be getting it for, 11 weeks. But now they'll be getting it for 10 more weeks. I don't know if that will be, I don't know whether that will be given retroactively at this point. But I think that that check, that unemployment check, has a lot to do with the information that will go to the Department of Labor and the, you know, from the government. So it takes a little time for it to get adjusted, but then people probably should be getting it until I think March 14th or so, and it may get extended because of this delay into April. But the $300 check will be coming to those who are unemployed instead of $600. But as I said, that it might take a little bit of time. And stimulus checks are already on the way. Many of them have already received. Many of them will get either direct deposit or checks. But the unemployment benefit will be weekly added to your state unemployment, $300 per week. That's what is approved now. Another thing that has been approved in this package, Hank, is the extension of those tenants who are in a rental property. The landlords, if they are unable to pay their rent, have given an extension that you cannot evict them. So I think the extension has been for another month, that people will not get evicted, or the moratorium has been extended. So I think those are some of the highlights of this the package or the act that has been signed. See, stimulus check, unemployment benefit extra, and also giving little extra time for the tenants to live in the property, even if they are unable to pay their rent because of the impact of the COVID. So, remember, all of these have to be shown because of the impact of the COVID. So I think those are the three major things that is in the package, and people should be getting the benefit of it soon.
Well, we really only have about 90 seconds left, so I think that's probably just enough time for you to let us know how people can get in touch with you if they need to, and then we'll pick it up next week.
Sure. The tax season has begun, officially. From January, we know it starts. Everybody will start getting their documents by the end of the year. I say that my office is open. My staff are staggered, and they are going in there. Every day, someone is there. I am still working from home, but I have gotten a little bit of good knowledge about how to use the Zoom and meeting all my clients throughout the year after March through the Zoom. It has been going well, so I'm willing to take all the appointments. My secretary is ready with her notebook to take the appointment, so you can call my office, 508-797-0005. Once again, 508-797-0005. And please talk to my office secretary. Her name is Kate, and Kate will be very happy to set up a time. If you want to meet with me, it probably would be on the Zoom to begin with. But I guarantee you, it will be just like I'm talking to you in person. And then if you want to talk to me directly, you can call my cell phone, 508-641-8441. Or you can ask Kate. She'll give you my cell phone, because I'm willing to talk to everyone. Because I know this is a time of challenge, crisis. People need help. And that's the business motto we have. That's our mission, to be out there for the community. We have done it over 30 years. This is our 31st year serving the community, and we're excited to jump into this crisis time.
That is fantastic. Let's talk taxes with Dr. Sacha Mitchell.
This is Pat Crowley of Hirschman, Falstrom & Crowley with a WCRN Tax Minute. Every year, there are numerous provisions in the tax code that change due to the consumer price index adjustments or other inflation indicators. The one that most clients are interested in is the standard mileage deduction for business-related travel. Effective January 1st, 2021, the standard mileage rate for business use of a car, van, SUV, or pickup will be 56 cents per mile, which is down 1.5 cents from last year. As with past years, you can only claim the standard mileage rate for a maximum of 4 vehicles that are used simultaneously in any business. In addition, you can't use the standard mileage rate if you've claimed a Section 179 deduction for that vehicle in any previous year. The standard mileage rate for medical and moving purposes is 16 cents per mile, which is down 1 cent from last year. The deduction for miles driven in service of charitable organizations is set by statute and remains unchanged from last year at 14 cents per mile. Tune in tomorrow to hear about other additional tax inflation adjustments. If you have a question on today's topic or any tax matter, call me for a free consultation on the tax line. Dial 508-TAX-LINE. That's 508-829-5463. And if you would like the WCRN Tax Minute sent to your email every weekday morning, sign up on the Tax Minute tab of our website at hfctax.com. At Hirschman Falschman Crowley, we specialize in assisting clients that have serious tax problems. We've been working with the local IRS and DOR offices for over 30 years and have developed an outstanding professional relationship with the employees in these offices. If you have a serious tax problem, before you call one of the national firms with an 800 number, I suggest you call me on the tax line at 508-TAX-LINE. That's 508-829-5463.
This is Full Service Radio, AM 830, W.